Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but those of you that have been listening to me for a while, can you tell my voice is back? Praise God. I don't have that raspiness stuff behind my throat. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I am very excited to be here on tonight. So I'm praying for a wonderful, wonderful show. So for those of you that this is your very first time, I am your host, Dr. Happy Leah Killings, whatever you call me, heal first. Amen. But call me a child of God. And so I'm so grateful that you've tuned in. However you were invited, I thank you for logging in or dialing in. And so we're on every Monday night, and we look forward to having you come back, because our goal tonight is to make sure that you are encouraged, to make sure that you are educated. So it may not be a brand new topic, but we're hoping it's one that will give you insight and give you something that'll make you study a little bit more, and then make the necessary changes, and then be empowered to share it, not only making those changes with yourself, but sharing it with someone else to make sure that you're empowered and you can empower someone else. So welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you that have been with me for the past, can you believe we're moving into 8 years? Amen. Praise God. We've been 8 years on the broadcast, and I'm very excited that, praise God, you have been here with me, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, however long you've been here with me. I thank you for being one of my listeners that keeps me encouraged, that keeps me motivated, that keeps me pushing to empower myself to study more, to do more, so that God can be all that I need for him to be for me, but more importantly, that I can be all that he needs me to be. And so I thank you, thank you, thank you for keeping me encouraged and keeping me motivated to do what God has called me to do. So I thank you. Now, we always, always, always give a big shout out to the Mega Ministry Group, because, praise God, without Brother Tammy and Sister, I can't call him no Sister, amen, Sister Tammy and Brother Jesse Storm, praise God. Look, I'm so excited that I can hear my own voice, but praise God, I'm so excited for them and their example. They come on before me at 8 o'clock, and praise God, they always have an inspiring word, and I love that they love each other, and so their broadcast on tonight was about marriage, and so it's just so wonderful to be able to be under their influence of love and understanding, and then their motivation for all of us to be about God's business. And so I just thank you for thank God for allowing me to be part of the group, and then them empowering me to do what God has called me to do. So I will always give a shout-out to them and call out their name. Now, the biggest praise and the biggest shout-out has to go to God, because without him, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't even be possible, and we definitely wouldn't have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him. So we always start off by thanking you for dialing in and having an upbeat song to get us in the mood, for hearing an inspiring word, and then we go to God for a word of prayer before we go into our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful gifts. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Father, that sometimes we take that for granted. But, Father, in this moment, we want to thank you for life. We want to thank you for the use of our limbs and being in our right mind. We thank you, Father, for those of us that may even be ailing or having sicknesses in our bodies, that we still have an opportunity to call on your name, that we still have an opportunity to pray and to praise you. We still have an opportunity to witness your word to someone or to even ourselves, Father. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. And so I just, Father, that you have given us an opportunity, and we don't want to take that lightly. We thank you, Father, for all the resources that you've given us. You've given us your word that gives us instructions. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives inside us and tells us where to go and when to stop, when to speak, when to be quiet, when to just praise and pray and whatever we need to do. We just thank you, Father, for that extra motivating voice that tells us what to do. But most importantly, Father, we thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that was made, his bloodshed, so that we could have the protection, we could have the authority to do what you have called us all to do, and that is to share your grace, your goodness, and then to do it in love. And so, Father, we just thank you for this time that we have, this hour, Father, to share your word. I pray, Father, that you will use my lips, use my eyes, use my hands, use my heart, whatever is necessary, Father, even if I have to jump and clap a couple of times, because it is so exciting to talk about your word. So I just thank you, Father, for giving me what you need to give me so that I can share what needs to be shared, so that he or she who is listening, Father, will hear an inspiring word that will motivate them and have them just as excited about you and the word as I am, Father, or if not more, praise God, to bring your people in and to use the gifts that we have so that we can bring about the necessary change that our world needs. So, Father, again, I just thank you. I love you for this time. Bless those that are listening, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us a heart to hear. And, Father, if there's anything that will prevent this word from going forth, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name that you move it, that if we need to repent, that we ask you to remove it and clean our hearts, Father, so that we always can come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. We love you. We honor, we adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. As I was saying before I went into prayer, that my name is Leah Killings, and some call me Dr. Happy, but whatever you call me, praise God, I'm happy to be here, and that we are empowered on tonight to give you an inspiring word that will encourage or educate or empower, whichever, or all three, praise God, because we are empowered to change, and we are hoping that your world will change based on the word that is given on tonight. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit and gifts. And so we kind of left off last week talking about why it was important for us to understand the attributes and the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And so it was interesting, after the broadcast, my grandmother always calls. She's one of my favorite listeners. And she said, Leah, I'm so, well, she doesn't call me Leah. She calls me Princess, praise God. But she said, I'm so excited that you've been talking about gifts. And she said, I didn't really realize how many gifts I had until you really pointed them out for me. And so a couple of weeks ago when we talked, and she said, well, I don't know what gifts I would have. And I said, Granny, you taught. And she's like, I did. And I was like, all those circle meetings when the girls were coming, I said, that's where we kind of learned a lot of things from. We didn't want to be there, of course. What teenager wants on a Saturday afternoon to go to an old lady's house and learn about stuff that we didn't know we were supposed to be learning about. But praise God, that was beneficial, because many of the information and stories that we read about in the scriptures that we learned stayed in our hearts. And the times that we really needed, God will bring those things to our remembrance. So had that not been placed in our heart, so had, Granny, you not done your part and did that, then praise God, many of us, we don't know where we could have ended up, because we wouldn't have had something in our foundation to fall on. And so you did your part. And so praise God. When she said, oh, I do have gifts. And so it's so amazing that many of us don't recognize the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us when we accepted God. And so it's important for us to know what those gifts are so that we can operate them, but not necessarily operate, develop them. And so there is a process in developing your gifts. And so many of us believe that, you know, God gave it to me, then amen, it is what it is. Well, it is, but you have to work at it. I mean, I love the fact that when we talk about do what Jesus did, or do what Jesus do, what would Jesus do, and then we don't want to do what he actually did. We want to perform the cool things that he did, but we don't want to do what is necessary for us to actually operate in those things so that we can have the confidence and the motivation and the authority to do what we need to do. So that means we got to do what he did in order to establish that, and that was he prayed to his Father. He studied the word. And then he operated in the gifts that God allowed him to do while he was on the planet. And so it is our responsibility, but we can't operate or have the authority or the confidence if we don't even understand the Holy Spirit itself. And so last week we talked about the Holy Spirit is part, is the third part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the third part, I mean, there's so much that you could talk about those three parts being just one, but we're only going to focus on the Holy Spirit aspect of it, because I really want to talk more about the gifts and why we need to operate in our gifts. But I do want to do a little review, because you can't operate your gifts if you don't understand where the source of where your gifts come from. Amen. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I like how my study material says in the New Testament, the divine Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, makes it more personal, and how the Holy Spirit's attributes are amazing within itself. And so the attributes or virtues, if you will, are wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, piety, fear of God, fortitude, and that these gifts are granted, praise God, and we all know it as the Holy Spirit wills, but praise God, these are our attributes. And so they fall upon us when God so needs for them to fall upon us. Now we have, it's so funny because in studying, you see all these different variations, and you see the Holy Spirit, you see the gift of the Spirit, you see the Holy Ghost, you see all these different words, the fruit of the Spirit. What does all this mean? Well, they all come from the same core, praise God. And so, but when you break it down, because you have the revelation, because that's why wisdom and understanding is so, and knowledge is so important, because when you study and then you ask God to really open your heart, open your mind, and you want the revelation, God will reveal certain things to you. Now, the unfortunate thing is that many times where we are in our study and in our walk, we may not get the full revelation that we want, because we have to do what is necessary in order to make sure our bodies are are in the right posture in order to receive the gifts. It's almost like the story of Moses, where God kind of had to hide him in the cloud because all of his awesomeness, all of his glory, he couldn't take all of it. And so even with God's wisdom and understanding of the things that he has blessed us with and things, gifts and resources that he's even left us with on the planet, we can't handle some of those things. So sometimes he has to give us to it in little pieces. It's almost like a baby. When you give them food, you're so excited, at least I was for mine, when they could get off that baby food because it was crazy expensive, when they could eat real food, table food. But I couldn't just give them a full hot dog. Probably not the best choice, but praise God, I gave them a hot dog. But I couldn't give them the whole hot dog. I had to break it up in small pieces, because if I didn't give it to them broken up, they choke. And so sometimes that's how the word is. We can read, and if we don't have the full understanding, we'll choke. And then we may misrepresent it. We may not operate it to the best of our abilities because we don't quite understand, because we're not ready for the full understanding. But praise God, the coolest thing is that you have to know, and the thing that we must know, that we all have access to the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to Christ. And so one of the things that I love to explain, because so many people in different religions and different denominations have different understandings of when you can receive the Holy Spirit, how you get the Holy Spirit, and all that. But the Bible is very clear. But I want to make sure that we understand first and foremost that you have to be saved. You have to give your life to Christ. It is a gift. And if it's a gift, then you don't give gifts to certain. Well, sometimes we do. I mean, those that know me know I probably would. But praise God, something this fragile, this delicate, you want to be right. And so you want to make sure that you allow God to come into your life. And then not only that, you have to repent of your sins. You need to make sure that your heart is clean. Now, does that mean that you're never going to sin again? Absolutely not. Do we even expect that to be immediate? Not. And even in years, because praise God, I can tell you many testimonies of mine, what I've fallen short. As much information that I have, as much as I've seen the move and the witness of God, I still bump my head and do things that are questionable, that I even question, why did I do that, and have to repent. So repenting is necessary because, again, I want to feel and I want to receive everything that God has for me, but I haven't even matured to that level yet because I'm still doing dumb stuff that I shouldn't be doing. And so it's preventing me from moving to the levels in God that I really want to be in because he knows I'm not ready yet. And so I love that cheesy commercial where it says he's not ready yet. Oh, let me tell you a joke. Nope, he's not ready yet. And so praise God. And then when he becomes ready, then praise God, he gets to go in the cheese it box. Well, praise God, I think I'm on the assembly line. I don't think I've made it to the box, but I'm close enough that I can see the box. But I want to make sure that I do the things that are necessary. So in order to do that, I have to seek God to make sure that my heart is pure. That when I say God, go before the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart, it's not going to happen by osmosis. I have to ask God, search my heart and show me the areas that I am weak. Show me the areas that I fall astray so that I can repent. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to repent to somebody. Most times it's just to him. And then if there is somebody, then he will reveal that. But nevertheless, if you want to operate in the fullness of God, then you have to make sure that you've given your life to him, fully given your life to him, that you repent. And then praise God, for those of you that don't really know, and I say this facetiously, but I really mean it, because some of us that give our lives to Christ, some of us repent and live our lives to God, we still don't really quite believe that Jesus died for our sins, because we question too much. How did that really happen? Well, you got to believe. And then part of your believing, I like how John 7:37-39 says, Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. The rivers of living water he's referring to, of course, is the Holy Spirit. So in order for you to receive this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift and to be able to use it in all its splendor, if you will, is that you have to, again, give your life to him, repent, and then, of course, you have to believe. And so once you believe, I believe in my heart, that's when the Holy Spirit will come over you. The presence of the Holy Spirit is there to help you. to help you have a better understanding, to help you remove certain things in your life that can prevent you from growing and glowing in the things of God, to protect you from the evil one, because it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so it is necessary for all of us to have the Holy Spirit. It is necessary for us to allow the Holy Spirit to have complete authority in our lives, because when we don't, we hinder the Holy Spirit. And then I don't know if you've been familiar of scriptures that said don't quench the Holy Spirit. It's basically not allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way, because, praise God, we don't know everything. There's no way for us to. And so if we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, it will guide us to all truth. And so what is truth? The Word. So you got to be in the Word. So it's not just enough to say I'm saved and I've asked God to forgive me. You need to get in the Word so that you understand what you need to do to yield yourself so that the Holy Spirit can operate in you to manifest the things that God has, I want to say ordained, but pretty much commanded us to do. So once you know that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit will guide you, strengthen you, and comfort you. That is part of God's commitment to you when you give your life to him. And so we still need to pray, because we always want to feel the presence of God around us. And so I love Psalms 51 and 11. It says, do not cast from me your presence or take away your Holy Spirit from me. And so we want to make sure that we have the closeness that we have to God. I chuckle sometimes when we go to church and we see people shouting. Now, when I was a kid, especially at my grandmother's church, because they were shouting back then, you know, the churches, the benches weren't mounted to the floor, so the benches were moved. So we would crack up from the balcony, of course, thinking that they were getting the Holy Spirit. And so many of us have gotten the mindset that that's the only way you can receive the Holy Spirit is through shouting. No, no, no. There are so many different facets of the Holy Spirit. But the presence that I'm talking about, not the shouting kind, not the kind that you cry or the kind that, you know, makes you fall out on the floor. The presence of God is feeling his love around you. Being in his presence is more than shouting, more than crying, more than shouting. All those are great because you feel the power of the Holy Spirit. But you want to have the presence where you know that you feel his love, that you know that you're being obedient when you hear his voice, and that you know his voice is most important, right? And then, praise God, he knows your voice because you're communicating. So it's a beautiful thing, and you can be in the presence of God, not just at church. Amen. You could be in the presence of God at all times if you wanted to, if you stayed focused. But many times, because of this system that we live in, we get distracted. And we get distracted from TV, we get distracted from these crazy cell phones, we get distracted from the internet, all these things that go around us that distract us, that breaks the connection, that we don't have the full presence that we desire. But sometimes some of these things, it draws us away from it. And so God is trying to get us to a place where we desire him more than we desire these things of the world. So first and foremost, it happens when you have a better understanding. And so I love 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, do you not know that you are God's temple, that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? I think if we really understood what that meant, then we wouldn't be going a lot of places that we go. We wouldn't be doing a lot of things that we do. And we definitely wouldn't be looking at some stuff, because if we knew that the Holy Spirit is actually, and that's why I love visuals. And sometimes I have to pretend just to make sure that I stay focused, because that's easy to forget that the Holy Spirit's in me. Because praise God, when I go to the liquor store, I'm not thinking that the Holy Spirit is with me and we about to buy I don't even know the drink, so I don't even know why I'm trying to call something. But what is it? I used to like Ibermint. That's probably not nothing. They probably don't have that in the liquor store. That's the grocery store. But anyway, I don't think about that when I'm going. Now, granted, there may not be nothing wrong with that for you or whatever. But if the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit present, is that the first place you probably go on your list? Probably not. Or, you know, or some of the stuff that we watch on TV that we know is just, whew, praise God. Would we allow that to be on our TV if we know the Holy, if we could physically see the Holy Spirit sitting next to us? Would we watch those things on TV? Would we be writing some of the things or texting some of the things or even saying some of the things that we say on the phone if we could really, really see the Holy Spirit sitting with us, like across us? Because you think about that. You know, I know that when we go to my grandmother's house, as old as we are, we better not leave no dishes in the sink. because we can leave them all up till about 11 o'clock when she probably comes up front. So at 10:30, we rush in to make sure everything's straight. So by the time she come up there, it's straight. So, I mean, that's reverence because we reverence her authority. So we do what's necessary because we don't want her to look bad and or look bad at us because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So imagine that times 1,000 because God is actually there. So some things you just wouldn't do. If we really understood 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? And so if you think those things and praise God, then we would do better. And then we would follow Romans 8:14. It says, for many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We would want to do more because, praise God, same example about my grandmother coming up front, we're all going to be doing that because we want to make sure. Or sometimes my sister, because she likes being the favorite, she may be in the kitchen knowing she ain't washed the dish. But when my grandmother comes up front, Granny, I wash all the dishes and, you know, I told them to clean up so that she'll get extra favor. We want to be in the favor of God. And so we want to be caught doing things right, as they say, in the system. And so for many are led by the Spirit of God, we want to do the things that are according to the Spirit of God. Why? Because we want him to be, again, to feel the presence of him. But more importantly, we want to be found walking, talking, speaking, doing everything that he's called for us to do. So when the Spirit of God needs us to operate, to move on his behalf, we'll be chosen. Why? Because we have the right foundation. We're in the right mindset. Our heart is pure. Our hands are clean. And so, yes, now we can be led by the Holy Spirit to do and go in the direction that he wants us because we know that we've heard him. We've been doing the right things. And so we're in the right posture to do what we need to do. So how do you know that you're operating in the things of God? Well, the one thing that I love that I didn't quite understand initially, but I'm so grateful that I got a chance to understand, is the fruit of the Spirit. So when we look to guidance, now, mind you, when I was taught this, I was taught that they were fruits, and so they separated. And so, you know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I separated them. And so I was like, okay, this month I'm going to work on this, and this month I'm going to work, because these are all good qualities that I need to have. And then I even took a class and how they broke them up. And it was kind of cool how they did it because they said it was three different categories, that the first three was the relationship with God, love, joy, and peace. Those are the relationship with God of the nine fruit of the Spirit. And then the second group was relationship with peace. I mean, with people, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. And then for yourself was faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I thought that was really cool. And I said, okay, I'll work on the three categories, the relationship with God, get my love together, get my joy and my peace together. And then when I do the people, then I can do the long-suffering and kindness and be good to people. And then for myself, develop my sense, my faithfulness, gentleness, and then definitely self-control because I like in that area. But anyway, and so those are how I broke up the fruit of Spirit so that I could remember them and then how I could change them. But praise God, again, remember I told you sometimes we're not completely ready for full revelation. And so that was good because God knew that my heart, that I wanted to change. I wanted to make some things, you know, different in my life because I wanted to represent him. And then when I got to a level where I understood, he shared with me, big girl, it says fruit. It doesn't say fruit. You're supposed to operate in all of those at one time because that is the Spirit. Those are the characteristics of that Spirit, but it's one Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And so all of them are together. And I thought, well, Lord, I can't do all of them together at the same time. And he's like, no, but with the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, amen, yes, you can. But again, you have to do your part. Am I doing my part to make sure that I can operate in all the gifts? Am I mature enough? Remember, we talked about a couple weeks ago. Are we maturing in the things of God, or we want to stay an infant? Do we want to just go to church Sunday after Sunday and never change? Or do we want to be mature and we want to assess, okay, Lord, where are some areas that I need to work in so that I can have the influence that when people see me, they see you. Not they see, oh, sometimes I see God in you and sometimes I see you and sometimes, I don't know if that I should even say, but that's the person I see in you. You want to be a walking billboard for God. You want to be, as they talk about, sometimes we're the only witness some people see. And so it's true because people are watching us. They're watching our lives. When you confess to be a Christian, excuse me, when you confess to do the things that God has called you to do, people are watching. And so it's so comical, but a couple weeks ago, perfect example, Kirk Franklin, he's the, you know, the spiritual song man. And then he, you know, has a moment where he has to chastise his child, use a few choice words that probably all of them weren't in the Bible, maybe a couple of them, but they judged him. And they was like, how do you call yourself this man of God and you using these words? Well, again, God knows that we slip from time to time. And sometimes these children cause you to fall off on the wayside. That doesn't excuse what he did by no means. But again, that's an area that he needs to develop so that he can, in a pinch, choose better words because he has an attention or has this community that are people that are watching him to see if he's going to really represent, you know, Christ the way that he claims, or is he, you know, cause it's so sad that people are so fickle because, you know, they praise you almost like this week. This is one of my favorite weeks when we talk about the resurrection, Easter, or whatever you call it. This is my favorite week because on Sunday, he goes in and everybody's praising. And then it went a couple days and it was crucified. I'm like, how can people do that? How are they so on your side, love you, you know, have seen the work, seen the things that you've done, and then in a moment, you know, kill him. He's a liar. He's whatever. And then watch as they beat and brutalized him. And, I mean, it wasn't even but a short time that they were grateful that he healed and that he delivered and he set free. But that's how fickle people are. And so you have to make sure that when you assess your abilities, your qualities, your characteristics, your moral codes, and the things of God, that they have to be all the way through, that they have to be your heart. So that, like Miss Sharon Osborne, bless her heart, you know, lashing out if that was part of her character too. So, you know, you got to be careful that when people throw you off because the devil's coming to kill, steal, and destroy, to throw you off your game. And so if you're not careful, if you're not trained, if you're not focused in the word, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to really reign, to really take precedence in your life, to stay in the presence of God, you will oversee, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything. You choose whether you want to follow him or follow yourself. That's why the scripture, lean not to thine own understanding, is so important, because so many days we can fall to that. Like I said, we get distracted. We let that phone ring and it's a wrap. You could be in a good presence of God reading your Bible and you look over and you're like, oh, that's my girl. And you forget all about the presence because now you're in your own presence with your girlfriend or your guy friend or whoever, because we get distracted. And so you got to be mindful because people are watching and they will hold you accountable. And, of course, God is God. He will redeem you and put you back to where you need to be because he's the master restorer. But at the same time, sometimes people don't allow you that same grace. So you got to be mindful. And that's why it's so important that we walk in the Spirit as much as possible and that we allow the characteristics of the fruit of Spirit to be our guide. Am I representing all of these? Because if not, then I need to check myself because I'm not operating in the fruit that I need to be working in. And so one of the coolest things that I think that is a good measure, at least for me, is that when Jesus said that we'd be able to do greater gifts than he did, that's what my goal is to get to. Because to me, I remember a lady that I used to go to church with years ago, she said, would it be something to live this life that we live and the things of God and then go through some of the challenges that we have to go through to be able to stand on the things of God and then get to heaven in this, sorry, depart from me. That would be so challenging. But for me, I take it the opposite side. How is it that we can walk and God said that he's given us all these things, the Holy Spirit, and we can do greater things. We can do the things that he did, and I never accomplished any of those things. That's what kind of, you know, has me boggled. I just don't believe in my heart Jesus is going to tell me to separate from him. That is not even a question. I know that he's going to say, come good. I don't even think about that. But so my thing is, what am I not doing on earth that he promised that I could do that I can't do? So a couple weeks ago, I asked y'all some questions to hold up your fingers and then, you know, count how many of these things and then put a finger down. So now I'm not going to tell you to put your hands up because your hands will probably get tired because the questions I'm going to ask you, I don't know. So now we're going to ask you to raise your hand if you've done this. So how many of you, by show of hands, have actually turned water into wine? Amen. Anybody? How many have fed over 5,000 people in one sitting? How many have walked on water? How many have raised the dead? How many people have controlled the storm and told it to stop thundering and lightning and then stop immediately? Well, those are just a couple of things that Jesus did, and he said that we would do greater things. I'm going to read the scripture. It says in John 14:12, it says, who will believe in me will do works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Those are just a few things that I just said that he did. And did anybody raise their hand? If they did, praise God, press one. Because I don't think that you, even if you press one, you didn't do those things. If you did them, it was because he allowed you to do them. But praise God, if he did, amen, hallelujah for you. But praise God, how many of us are in a posture where God could actually do that? Because we have done what we've been required to do in his presence enough to be able to do those things. And some of you may have, and amen, hands down to you, praise God, you were in the posture, you was in the right presence for that to happen, amen. That's what we all need to be at any time, because those things that I said, maybe not the water and the wine, but feeding, healing, maybe not walking on water, but setting captives free, exercising demons, encouraging people, raising people from the dead, defeating the devil, controlling the storm, and drawing people to God, those are all necessary in this system right now. But how many of us are doing that? And why are we not doing that? Is it because we're not really in tune to the gifts and the talents that God has given us? Is it because we don't quite understand the authority that we have in the Holy Spirit? Is it because we're not really ready to let go of some of the stuff that we're doing to be in that posture? Now, let me give you my testimony. Now, last week was extremely hard for me because I had given up. I really had. I'm tired of going through all this stuff that I'm going through. I got bruises on my body. I got burns on my body. I mean, stuff is happening that just ain't never happened to me before. And I mean, I've been through some stuff. My eye was sitting on my cheek. Now, I say that often, but that was amazing for that to even be possible and for it to be on my cheek as long as it was, and all the stuff that I had to go through with all that, taking steroids and all that stuff. So I thought that when it came to that kind of testimony, I was good. I'm like, Lord, we're good. I don't need no more testimonies like that. My car stopping on me losing my job, you know, having to pay a bill. Yeah, I can deal with all of those. Pray to help somebody, you know, get back on their feet. Yeah, all those tests. Yeah, that I'm used to. But this stuff that I'm going through, real warfare, I was tired. And so last Monday, you know, I've been hearing people, Leah, you should just do a rerun. Why are you stressing yourself, your throat, your breath, you know, blah, 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 blah. So Monday, I thought, wow, for the first time ever, I said, I probably should do a rerun because I wasn't feeling it. I was really down. I was tired. And the Holy Spirit said, share your testimony. I'm like, Lord, I am not emotional. I'm not about to get on here and break down and cry and don't. Because I was really low to the ground. No, I was past the ground. I was under the ground low because I was like, Lord, I can go now. I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. And so I remember after the broadcast, and I'm like, I don't even know how I finished because I texted a couple of people during the broadcast and said, pray that I get through this because I'm losing it. I don't feel like, and I'm like, no, you're doing an awesome job, amazing job. Keep going. I'm like, amen, I'm not feeling it, because I knew I was being disobedient because God told me to tell the testimony. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not ready for that yet because I'm not ready to be emotional. And so, praise God, I got past the broadcast, finished, talked to my granny, and she, you know, kind of encouraged me, you know, I'm learning so much about the gifts. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess she did get something from me, but amen, Lord, I'm tired. So I'm like, if I go, you know, the girls will be fine, you know, I'm good. So I laid down, went to sleep for a few minutes, and then when I woke up, I thought I saw something that wasn't nice in the hallway. And normally, as I told y'all, just a couple of years ago, I was delivered from being scared of the dark. And so, first, I usually keep the TV on, keep some lights on, somewhat, because just can't be in the dark. But then when I got delivered from the devil and understood who he was and that he had no authority, blah, 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 I was delivered. And so, praise God, I can be in the dark. But that night, I saw that shadow, and I'm like, ooh, okay. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind wasn't strong enough to stop whatever I saw in the hallway. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not a sin. I was ready to go, but I changed my mind. I'm not ready. I changed my mind. Help me to get whatever that is out of the hallway, because I ain't ready to go yet. So what I need to do? And I was blank. And so my phone was next to me, but I was fumbling with the phone. It was dark, and I couldn't text or get any scriptures to come up on my phone. I'm like, oh, Lord, I need my Bible. And I looked, my Bible's on the other side of the room, and I'm like, I got to go past the door to get my Bible. Lord, you got to help me get past the door. So, okay. And then I thought, oh, wow, it's close to Journey's room. Lord, cover my babies. Don't let him get my babies because, praise God, I think I got a little strength to not let him come in my room. But cover them. Don't let it go in there. So I finally get around, get my Bible. And so I'm flipping through pages, so panicking, looking over my shoulder. I couldn't get to the right page. And so I'm like, okay, this is not working. Look to my right. And praise God, my spiritual warfare book is sitting right there. So I picked the book up, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I ain't ready for that, Nina. I ain't trying to fight going back and forth with them kind of scriptures. No, I need some scriptures, some soft ones, so I can help me. So I turned the page over to healing scriptures. So I started reading my healing scriptures. And I'm like, wow, okay. So, you know, again, lean not to your own understanding. So I'm like, okay, Lord, these are a lot of scriptures. But I'll say them as I'm still looking over my shoulder, and I could see and feel the presence starting to leave. And so I start reading a few more scriptures, but of course I'm flipping. I'm like, Lord, this ain't this two more pages. You already read all these scriptures. Keep reading. So I kept reading. So praise God. When at least I'm like, okay. So no, Lord, what am I supposed to learn from this? And it was, are you focused on your problem or are you focused on me? When you focused on me and my word, the presence left. And so I'm like, I knew better than that. But sometimes we forget because we get caught up, like I said, get distracted. Now, all the wisdom and all the word and all the degrees I have on the word did not help me in that moment because I gave up. Well, it wasn't that moment. It was a lot of moments that led up to the big moments. And I gave up. I gave up. And the more people encouraged me, the more it became, like, toxic. I didn't want to hear that because you're not going through what I'm going through. I'm tired. And so praise God. When God blessed me to see whatever that was, and it was probably nothing. It was probably because I ain't had enough sleep. But whatever it was, I felt the presence enough to get up and get the word. And the more I was in the word, the more I forgot about the presence, the more I forgot about my pain, the more I forgot about that I couldn't even breathe to get to this side of the room, the more I was focused on him. So saying all of that to say, when you know what your assignment is, then it's harder for you to give up. And even though you know, sometimes the enemy will pour to make you forget, to make you distracted. And so if I had been more focused on the word and more focused on the assignment that I have, my heart wouldn't have been distracted. And so I've been watching a few too many movies and watching things that were clouding my vision that what God was saying to me. Now, I'm not saying that some of the things that we do are, you know, amen, it is this system where we live in it. So, you know, we indulge in some of the things in life. But if they are distracting you from being focused on the things that God has called you to, then amen, they are a distraction and they will prevent you from being and doing what God has called you to do. And as I said, the Holy Spirit is always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you got to acknowledge it. And if you don't acknowledge it, then praise God, there is another presence that will take over because he wants you to lean to your own understanding. Because once you do, then he has an opening. And once he has an opening, he can have a foothold. Foothold becomes stronghold. Stronghold becomes strong man. And again, he'll build a condominium if you allow him. And then it's hard. I had allowed the condominium. I probably had more than just a condominium. I had a government system because it was beyond city states. It was a government because I was done. I didn't want to do it anymore. And so praise God, he gave me just that, just the little book and a few scriptures to get me back to focus. And then I had to remember all the things that I've said. I had to believe that I'm gifted. I had to pray I had to discover and remember the gifts and the talents that God has already revealed in me. And then I had to accept the responsibility that he gave me for giving me the gifts. And then, praise God, I had to consider, what am I desiring? Am I desiring to stay handicapped? Am I going to allow the handicap continue to handicap me? Or do I want to be healed? Do I want to be set free? Do I want to do the things? And I need to start thinking those things and then accept the confirmation that when people are saying, I'm praying for you, I'm believing in you, accept that and keep it, because it's sent to encourage. A classmate, was not a classmate, I was his instructor. He called me today, and I thought, oh, wow, this is odd. And so all I have is Doctor of Divinity student, so I didn't really understand who it was because I didn't see the end part of his name, because, of course, I had these long titles, but I had to make sure that I know who's programmed in my phone. So all I saw was Doctor of Divinity student. And so I answered, and I thought it was one of my current students, and it was one of my past students. And he's like, Dr. Jones, I know you're real busy. He said, but me and my wife have been really, really praying for you. We don't know why. We've just been really, really praying for you. They live in the Virgin Islands. Go for you. They don't even live in the States. We've been praying for you, and the Holy Spirit just been on our hearts for us to pray for you, and we've been praying. He said, I meant to call you last week. He said, but it got away from me. He said, but we've been praying. He said, I sent you a message on Facebook, but you didn't respond. And after you didn't respond, I told him, I'm just going to call. And so he called today, and so it brought tears to my eyes, because many times when we think people that we want to be praying for us, how come people say praying for me or doing blah, 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 blah? God has people in the wind that you don't even know about that are praying on your behalf and don't know. Maybe it was the same night they was praying was the night I need to get around to bed to get to the other side to get my Bible. But you just don't know that God has already set up the plan for you. You just got to make sure you do your part. And that is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. When you're in the presence, he will make things operate and work on your behalf. But you got to flow in these things. And one of the things that I love, the assignment that he has given, and the assignment that he's given us all, whether you know your gifts or not, praise God, you need to find it, because all of us are required to do this one thing. Jesus said that we would have all this stuff that we could do to do greater than him, and the Holy Spirit helps us and gives us gifts and gives us talents so that we could do this one thing, and it is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28:16-20 says, and the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountaintop where Jesus was, and he told them when he saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There, the Holy Spirit again. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Now, praise God. People talk about this all the time. Where was all of us supposed to go make disciples? What are we doing? So I can hope you hold your hands up again. How many of you have led somebody to Christ this week? Okay, this month, this year, praise God. We got to do better. And so, praise God, this very scripture allows us to do those things, because if the Holy Spirit resides in you and God has given you gifts and talents to be able to manifest, to have the authority to do all these things, praise God, we should be able to do this. Now, this particular passage of scriptures has three parts that I love. And I love, of course, breaking steps down. And I know that I'm running out of time, but I want to make sure that you get this, that you have to understand, when you go make disciples of all nations, because Jesus says that we'll have greater gifts than he did. And what did he do? He healed, he delivered, he set free, he cast demons out, all that. And what did that make people do? Follow him. Amen. So we do what God told us to do. People would not follow us. They'll follow him, because he is what? In us. Remember? And so he's given us gifts and talents because he needed all that to be able to do what he did. He followed the Holy Spirit, had the giftings, had the talents to do what God. Amen. I'm getting excited. So in order for us to do this, we have to acknowledge, one, when he says to go and do this, we have the authority. When Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, what did he say before? He said that whatever he has, we have greater works that we'll do than what he did. Are you kidding me? John 14:12. We will do greater works than he did. So if he had the authority, what does that mean? That means we have authority. Are you kidding me? So we have authority. So technically, I have authority to trample on COVID and all the other symptoms that it left behind. Praise God. I just got to get in the right presence and stay in the presence and not be distracted and ask God to show me what I need to do to make sure that I walk in this authority, because he already told me that I'm supposed to be going to make disciples and training other people. So I can't do that from the bed and from my bedroom. I have to be able to go out. I have to go and do what he told me to do. So I just got to walk in that authority. Praise God. Look, I can move a little bit. Praise God. Just, now, if I do that all the time, amen, I'd probably be running. Amen. Amen. Focus. That's the next word. I need to stay focused because I'm running out of time. Focus. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I command. Why is focus so important? We have to remain focused. My uncle, we tease him all the time. Well, he started it, and so we laugh, but praise God, it's very true. He says, stay focused. We got to stay focused. What happens when you stay focused? You stay, I love the definition. It says, the center of interest or activity. That means that you stay rooted. And you stay focused because all your attention is on one thing. And so what is that one thing? That is going and making disciples. How do I do that? I got to make sure that I'm in the right posture. How do I do that? I got to be obedient. How do I do that? I got to repent. I got to make sure that my heart's clean. I got to make sure that I have clean hands and pure. How do I do that? Yielding to the Holy Spirit. How do I do that? By making sure that I represent the Spirit. How do I do that? By making sure I operate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You see what I'm saying? How it's connected? Amen. And then, praise God, then I am able to pay particular attention to whatever it is that God has called me to do. And what is that? Whatever assignment he has given you. Now that you have the authority, now that you're focused, what's the last step? You got to be confident. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. If you are confident that God is with you, you can't let nobody shake your confidence. I know that when I was in high school and these kids used to go, I'm going to beat you after school, I was shook. I was scared. And because I was scared. Now, I knew, I had my sisters and I had the neighborhood friends, and we always walked together in a clan. So it looked like we was a clan. We was all pretty much scared, but we were a big group. So praise God. I should have been confident in that one person wouldn't get me, what, 5, 6, 7 of us getting off the bus at the same time, walking down the street towards the same. I mean, I should have been more confident. But because of what they said, it shook me because I wasn't confident. God wants us to be confident. So when the enemy comes and tells you that you can't do, that you can't have, you're too old, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too ugly, you're too this, you're too that, you can be confident and know, God's with me. And if he said I can do it, he's given me the authority to do it. As long as I stay focused, I just got to believe that he's going to do what he needs to do for me. Again, when we go to confidence, I love feeling or a belief that one can rely on something or someone or something, firm trust. Can we not depend on the things of God? Can we not believe him? Can we not trust him? Has he not done enough in our lives for us to believe that he can do whatever he said he's going to do? Is he going to heal? Absolutely. Why? Because he said in his word, if I saved you, I can heal you. If he healed me, he can save you. Why wouldn't I believe that? Why wouldn't I believe that he will never leave me nor forsake me? Why would I not believe that if he's confident to give me the gifts, why can't I be confident that I should know how to use it? Because he gave it to me. He wouldn't have gave it to me if it wasn't meant for me to use. Am I confident that he has plans, that he gave those plans to me before I was even in my mother's womb? Why can't I be confident in that? Why can I not believe that, praise God, this is not unto death? Because I haven't seen what he showed me that's going to happen. Do I believe that what he said that he showed me was going to happen? If I know he has the authority. I know if I stay focused, then I'll have it. So, praise God, this can't take me out because I haven't accomplished all the gifts that he's given me. So even in that, when I remember James 1, I can't remember the scripture, but in chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when you face trials. Are you kidding me? I should never, ever sink into that funk that I was in, because I have to know that I have to rejoice in whatever it is and find whatever it is that God wants. Look, what you want me to read? You want me to study? You want me to pray? I'm not going to focus on this pain. Not like I was. I'm going to focus on you. So I need to flip the script. I got to be focused. I got to remember the authority. I got to remember to walk in the confidence that he gave. Okay. So, amen, I may lose something. I may lose a finger, I may lose an eye, I may lose my vision. Okay, well, put my glasses on. Lord, you know, even Peter said, this thorn in my side, but by grace is sufficient. Because if I gave you assignment, I'm going to give you what you need. So even though I may not feel well, that's why I do the broadcast. It doesn't matter. But somehow I kind of forgot that. But praise God, I'm going to make sure that I stay focused. I'm going to make sure that I stay grounded. And I'm going to build up my confidence by what? Being in the Word and listening to the Holy Spirit and making sure that I stay in the presence of God. Because if I stay in His presence, then praise God, can't be shook. So I pray that you've gotten something from this lesson. I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that you have learned something, that you have been educated. It may not have been a brand new topic, but maybe you see it different, that you need to study the Holy Spirit, study the attributes. What has God given you? He's given us all gifts. All of us have gifts. And then He's given us gifts that we can access and then gifts that we can use. So praise God. Figure out which ones you need and do it, because He said that if you remain in Him and His word remains in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. So ask Him, what is it that you have for me, Lord, so I can be busy about your work. You're not too old. You're not too young to share the goodness of God. Nobody is. We're all called to do this assignment, to go and make disciples of all nations. Again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And like I said, I pray that you have gotten something from this lesson. I always cause the broadcast off with my granny's favorite song because I know she's my number one listener, and her praise song is Every Praise Belongs to God. I dedicate this song also to my nieces and nephews, and my nieces graduate in a couple months, praise God. And so we're praying and believing that we'll all make it graduate, because we know that we have the authority over COVID now, so it's going to have to move. If Jesus can move the storm, if all of us are in agreement and believe, we can move COVID out the way. To pray to us. So, baby girl, we're going to come see you for your graduation, because we're going to be believing we're going to get past COVID, because we have the authority to do what Jesus said. Amen. So, again, every praise belongs to God. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. And remember, you have to start your day with prayer. You have to pray throughout your day, and then you have to end your day with prayer. Tune in again next week for another empowering word from on high. I look forward to hearing from you and seeing from you. Be blessed and have a wonderful evening.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Take it up and praise.
It's